As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct you prayerfully to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What a blessed word, dear friends, having read all that we have read in the other rest of the chapter, and also speaks of it in the first chapter, concerning that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What a reflection of the plus state of this country in that, dear friends. They all might be damned. And you and I in an unregenerate state might be damned who believe not the truth. But blessed be the Lord, he's called you. You dare not deny it, friends here on the relay. You dare not deny it. He has called you. Else why are you and I here tonight, or connected to this through the medium of the phone system? You know we should have a hope here. And you give the glory to him, because he hath from the beginning chosen you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Does it ring a bell in your soul and mine? Chosen you for the purposes of God's saving you from death, destruction, and despair. Oh, then we would be giving thanks. Come here with a thankful heart of his mercies new every morning, of his mercies to you being brought up in a family that fears God. But it didn't have any effect upon you until that appointed time came. And those appointments of God through life's journey. And though you may have made to feel conscious of your sins, and if you have got this measure of grace, it won't leave you to boast, but you'll bless and praise God that you're not like others, like the unregenerate, which are pretty obvious to you and me in our walk and our conduct. And all those, dear friends, that exalt sport in this land as their idol. And there go you and I. And we know we can be tempted and drawn aside and allured by these things, but it'll be thus far, no further. And you're brought there and pray for that grace that you might stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught. Now you daren't deny that you have not been taught. You've been taught as a child, most of you. And you may have rebelled against it until the time of the Lord came and exercised your soul to seek to be given a thankful heart. You may have fallen on your knees, you may have bowed your head in prayer, and that heart of yours has been desirous that the Lord would give you a calm and thankful heart, as dear and still. From every murmur free, the blessings of thy grace impart and make me live to thee. Well, we get carried away sometimes, don't we, when we get involved with the world. And we want to be away from them sometimes and to meditate upon this thankful heart that God has given you. Your every need supplied. The tribulatory path that he's called you to walk in and may still be walking in, and you wonder where the scene's going to end, but still you're steadfast in your beliefs of the Word of God, that it might become more and more a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And he exhorts this because you're tempted sometimes in the dark valley of the shadow of death upon your conscience, and you're cast down, and you say, "Why art thou cast down?" says the psalmist. "O my soul, hope thou in God," because faith is in still lively exercise in your soul. "Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise him." This is a believer's foundation. It's on Christ and what he has taught you. Taught you to number your days, to apply your heart unto wisdom. And you bless him for that knowledge of the truth. And you want to have more and know more of it and walk by it. To walk in the truth as a lamp to your feet. And so we are bound to give thanks. And we sometimes feel a thankful heart, and sometimes we're melted down when the Lord appears to us and for us and shows us a token. And we hold fast to that, and we want more. And we want to be filled with the saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. We want to walk worthy of him and the vocation wherewith we have been called. Now, you can't deny that you've been called by a vocation. The Lord has taught you to remember the Sabbath. He has taught you to love the Bible because it's been a lamp to your feet, and a specific texts have been an exercise to you, and is directing your hearts into the love of God. And you bless him for that. And you want to see, feel your bosom and mind to grow with love, to grow with knowledge and understanding of the truth, that you might win Christ and be found in him as he unites you to walk in his fear, and he touches your heart and he melts you down. Why was I made? To hear his voice. Why? Because he has chosen you before the worlds were made, that you might live to show forth his praise. And you do find times when his spirit's poured in, you bless him for his help, for his hope given you, and for his love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And so, you see, to give thanks to God always, but to be thankful for present and still ask for more of the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, because you realize God is formed in your heart the hope of glory through the merits of Jesus. And so you bless the Lord and praise him that he has turned you round, changed your heart, renewed your will, and returned your feet to Zion. So you can sing that verse, I believe, most of you, or if not all of you at times. We cannot always feel to be upon the Spirit in the Lord's day or in the week, can we? But we know what we deny, to search the Scriptures. We deny, we desire to see the Lord's hand in overcoming the devil in our lives, because truly Satan is a great trial to the Lord's people, and we need him to deliver us from it. And so you see, the wicked will be revealed to you, but through mercy the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that is true if you receive a text, if you receive a promise from God. You know, he will destroy the brightness of his coming. You know, Satan cannot bring you and me down, dear friends. He might do his utmost. The Lord permitted him sometimes to come in your life like a flaming fire. But bless the Lord, he is able to quench the devil, and he drives out the buyers and the sellers of your heart, and you're peaceful. And this is when you realize the Lord coming, determined to save you when you were Satan's blind slave, born with death. And he brings you here where you are giving thanks. You look on. It may be in providence. And also, as you follow on, it'll be in grace too. This is the Lord's doing. He set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. And this is how we walk through life, our dependence upon the Lord, because he has taught you to trust him for his faithfulness. And it's all because you are amongst those who he has chosen you to salvation, chosen you to be saved, bought you with a price, laid down his life for you, and has ascended on high and led the captivity of your sins unto away from you. It doesn't mean you won't have the captivity come and the enemy come in like a flood again, but he will lift up a standard against him. You and I will have to partake of the onslaughts of Satan here below, but you never quench, dear friends, that exercise of loving your soul for the Lord. You say, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. And you'll go again, because you won't be in that peaceful state of mind, though you have known and touched upon this salvation through the sanctification of spirit and the belief of the truth. But still he comes. And look at what the atheists are doing in the day and age that we live, trying to undermine the scriptures. But there'll always be, dear friends, a time when the Lord breaks down, dear friends, the enemy of the truth, drives him out, and brings you a measure of peace for a little season. And this is when you give thanks. And you go again and give thanks, thankful for mercy is new every morning because of his faithfulness. And though we know not what's going to occur with us day by day in our lives, we determined in our own mind, but we realize our weaknesses and failings to keep him at bay because of our sins. And so again, we resort to the throne of grace and pray, Lord, do send thy spirit. Do sanctify my losses and my crosses by that increase of faith to believe in the truth and to know the truth and being able to repeat the promises that he has given you and me to enable you to continue. And is it that help that we continually need? Help thou me, Lord, to believe, to trust thee according to thy word. And so it is he, having loved you, and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And so you have these consolations in your pathway. And you have to ask the Lord to favour me to know more of this joyful sound of this chosen, that I'm a chosen vessel. You've not chosen me, though. This is where the free willers are wrong. They think they have a right to choose God, to choose Jesus. They say they've found him. I sometimes doubt, dear friends, the reality of their so-called found him. But when you're in a dark place, you'll find him in this wasteland wilderness as the one thing needful. Like Mary sets the example, she is chosen because the Lord is, she is Jehovah's choice. He has given her a new heart. She's hungry and thirsting for the word of God. And you'll come sometimes more needful, perhaps on one occasion or another, when the Lord has been so merciful to you and you feel the life of the Spirit in yourself. You love the Lord because he has granted you deliverance. When thou canst no deliverance see, and yet still this man, thy peace shall be. Where else can we obtain peace but through the merits of Jesus? And so he's called you by this gospel. Called you by the gospel. So because he has chosen you to salvation. And you'll bless the Lord and you'll be favoured to feel that the Lord has eternally loved you, bought you with a price. And you press through the crowds of doubts and fears and unbelief because there's a measure of faith and exercise. He's the author of your faith, and you'll never lose it. It may get beclouded, but you'll never lose it because he comes again and shows you that he has chosen you, and whom he has chosen, he won't discard. They may backslide, and they may be brought again to repent and sorry for their sins, and they mourn over their sins, but it'll be after him, and you'll feel him to be your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. And you have to say, Lord, give me strength to stand fast. To stand fast, to be still, and know that he is God, and his beloved Son has redeemed you from the curse of the broken law, and so he calls you by the gospel. The gospel bears your drooping spirits up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of your hopes in oaths, in promises and blood. Oh, what a mercy to feel the presence of your Saviour in this sin-stained world, or you're a chosen vessel. He has laid down his life for you. And doesn't it ever touch your heart, the truths of the gospel? Directs your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. This is the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart and mind, and you have evidences of it. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I view. It isn't the cross, it's what signifies the cross. He who hung upon the cross, he who humbled himself before God, he that humbled himself under the cross and the terrible sufferings of the cross, laid down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Do you wait upon him for his commandments? Do you love the Lord sufficient to keep these commandments? Do you say, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice? You felt contact. You felt union. You felt union, communion with him from off the mercy seat. He's drawn near. His voice is heard. And oh, how precious is the voice of the Saviour. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I will give thee rest. What a mercy. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Once in him, in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Therefore stand fast. Oh, what a mercy to believe, and you'll do everything you can to defend the truth and the gospel, because it speaks of Christ, his love, his mercy, and his favour to unworthy sinners. So you see, he sends strong delusion here. He said that they should believe a lie. But God is just. God is faithful that promised. And so he says, Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Very solemn. But what a mercy if your hope is in the merits of Jesus. Built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame. How many, dear friends, in the religious world, they trust in their paraphernalias of worship. They defy him. They want all the glory of themselves, and they never do anything sinful. Not much, when we know all that's been exposed of the sins and the dreadful treatment of children and young people growing up. Oh, what a devilish system is that religion, dear friends. But what a mercy if you have a little of that righteousness, which is better than the many riches of the wicked. Never mind the riches, never mind all their glory in their buildings and all their paraphernalia that they wear. It's humbling yourself before Almighty God to think, why me? That he should condescend to give me a good hope that I'm chosen of thee, a chosen vessel, and live that life of faith by prayer and bless the Lord. O my soul, let all within me joy and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. And this is the difference between Satan's so-called favours. Not favours, are they? Deceivableness. Treat all as deceivers that lead not to Christ. Oh, may we be more favoured in our desires. Lord, fulfil righteous desires. Drive out the buyers and the sellers with their deceivableness. But grant, Lord, that I'm not left to be deceived. But through the merits of Jesus, thou hast shown me the way of salvation. And I pray to thee, Lord, to make it plain that my footsteps are ordered by the Lord, that I might delight to do thy will, not ashamed to own me as my Lord and my Saviour, because he has shown me tokens of his love, called by the gospel. And that gospel, to bear your drooping spirits up, faithful and unchanging God, lay the foundation of your hopes in oaths, promises and blood. You'll have an oath, you'll have a promise, you'll have blood. The blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. And he's chosen you to bear witness you have been with Jesus. Oh, to feel it more. Chosen you before the worlds were made, that you should be born of the water and the Spirit, and made wise unto salvation, and put not your trust in an arm of flesh, but in a living Saviour, who was able to do far more exceeding abundantly for you and me above all that we can ask or think. And do we not have brought to our remembrance at times those sweet moments when Jesus passes by and draws out you and me to follow him? This love for the truth, chosen you. And he won't discard you, friends. No. He'll certainly discard those that are deceived, because they have been left to believe a lie, and the lying signs and wonders of Satan. Oh, Satan is so active in the day and age that we live in. But what a mercy. You see, he exhorts himself. And he has his agents in the world under the cloak of religion. But oh, what a mercy to know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and be made conformable unto his death. Crucified to the world and the world unto him. This is your Jesus. It's not a glorious shining path to you and me in the flesh, but in the Spirit, you've had your trials sanctified of the Spirit, and the truth has been burnt in, and you believe the truth, and that word, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, encourages you still to press on and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And so you can sometimes go again to that portion of God's word that has been so directing to your pathway, ordering your footsteps by his word. And that's in the reality as he takes his word and seals it upon yourself. And oh, what a mercy, you've taken heed to it. You still know you're a sinner. You still know you have a carnal mind and enmity to him. But oh, this Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and ye should know it. And you reflect to it, you come and read it again. It may not be with the same power, but you reflect a little in your memory of when the Lord so took his word and sealed it. This is the way, walking in it, when you turn to the right or to the left, because I have chosen thee. He says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He's burned up, dear friends, all the dross. It's not what you thought you've got and possessed, but he's burnt it all up. But he's planted in your soul a token for good, a token of his special love, and tells you that you are born of God. And you have a little of this treasure in your earthen vessel, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Blessed Jesus. Always to hold fast to him and his truth. And Lord, do come again, confirm my soul with some blessed assurance and good hope through grace that I am thine, that thou hast bought me, that thou hast laid down thy life for me, and have a revelation of Christ on the cross. It is Jesus, my friend, that hung on the cross, has opened the channel of mercy for me. Oh, blessed gospel, it's the good news. It's the blessed news that you and I can ever receive. We may study the news, dear friends, on print and read them from the print, dear friends, but what will it profit you, me, unless the Lord is in it and takes his word? And sometimes it comes unexpectedly, and you didn't perhaps know where that word came from, but you can soon find it, don't you? As you search the scriptures and see that what the Lord has revealed to you is truth, and that truth, as I said, will be burnt in, and you should know it, and it'll make you free. You need freedom, don't you, from the condemnation of the broken law? Thou art the man, David was so told, and oh, how he repented of his sins. And so you and I will repent of yours, and they'll still be brought to your remembrance if I know a little of it. You mourn that unexpectedly you're brought into some memory of some sin. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans for the pregnant cause of misery, and you are a miserable sinner, and you got no, and you don't seem to get any comfort or hope. But then, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, as he will, I believe, and he'll show you the folly of your ways. But he said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud all your sins and your transgressions. And he says, come, follow me, for I have chosen thee. Chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have laid down my life for thee. I have delivered you and me from the curse of the broken one, because he's borne the curse from you. What a saviour. What a saviour. I cannot preach him better, I would that I could, but oh, this gospel, this good and welcome news of salvation, I have eternally loved thee, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee by the cords of man, by the bands of my love. And he says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for beside me there is no saviour. What a confirming words that these last four verses, dear friends, do in opposition to what the devil is doing, what he wants to do. But the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We look at it maybe with our own view, you know, when we see the ungodliness in the world. How long, we wonder, before God comes to judge the world in righteousness. He is coming. But what a mercy if he comes. Just reveal himself to you. It will be well with you while life endure, and well when called to die, if you love this gospel. All for more of it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's called you by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we need to hold fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. What a mercy. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Thou knowest, Lord, that I would love thee. I would love thee more than I feel to do at the present. But to whom else can we go? He alone has the words of eternal life to give, and he calls you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Oh, eternal, eternal life that the Lord has appointed for you and me to receive. May he make your title clear, dear friends, to those glorious mansions in the sky. He will come. Time is set to heal up your woes and season most fit his love to disclose. Tarry ye here. Oh, you won't want to run away from the truth, will you? The truth of his word. You have it in your home. You have it in the house of God. May the Lord in his mercy bring your soul out of prison, because he will if you're his at the appointed time. Rolls on the pace, not to propose, but called by grace. Change your heart, renew your will, return your feet to Zion's hill. Blessed inhabitant of Zion, washed in the dear Redeemer's blood, and you'll have fellowship. I believe you'll have fellowship. And you may feel, well, I've never had the fellowship that I want. You will. If you follow him, you're following on to know the Lord without a veil between. Time is set to heal up your woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. What a Saviour. What a mercy to be looking unto Jesus. You won't exhort yourself, but you will be seeking Jesus and to worship him in the beauty of holiness and to receive those tokens of his everlasting love. Oh, make me to know and read my title clear, Lord, to those mansions in the sky. But we are bound to give thanks for his gospel to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, may the gospel be the good news of salvation for your soul and mine. May it come and apply it with power. And you hope that you will make a good end and an abundant entrance into heaven at last. May he pardon all the miss, get to himself any honour and glory acceptable this evening, as we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us conclude with hymn number 60. The tune is the old 148th, 8th of number 552. All the elected train were chosen in their head to all eternal God, where before the worlds were made, chosen to know the Prince of Peace and taste the riches of his grace, chosen to faith and hope, to purity and love, to all the life of God, to all the things above, chosen to prove salvation sure, chosen to reign forevermore. Hymn number 60. Yeah. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.